Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, after 2 weeks hiatus, we are back, we are back, we are back live. It's the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, one of the most, the king of king hunters himself, the man that should be running for president 50 days from now, but he couldn't because he had no money because he's broke, and so his partner was in some bad investment. I am the hot rod. On the phone line, I have the worst partner in the world that don't know anything about the stock market. He is the one, the only.
Sean Black in the building once again. Huh. Go figure, right? 253 episodes in are almost in the books. So let's keep it going.
And once again, you're the only one who's keeping track of this thing.
Yeah.
I'll put something
else that'll make you feel old also. In March, that will be our sixth year of doing this show. Go figure. Hopefully the world will still be around by the time we get there.
That's what I'm about to say. Maybe we'll not be around in March of 2021. Who knows?
Good grief.
As always, I start with the show with a mess of things. But there's so much going on right now. Sean Black and I, we talk every day. And we're just scratching our heads with all the mayhem or chaos or news or whatever you want to call it. Like someone told me earlier today, this is worse than the Twilight Zone because you cannot see any of this happening before, you know. I told you, Sean Black, all this news that's happened right now 10 years ago, you would call me a cuckoo bird or you would have called the cops on me, you know. You sent me the bill.
Well, I would have done that regardless, but, you know, we don't necessarily need to have the world go out for me to do that.
That's true. Right now, our thoughts and prayers for the people in the West Coast of America, there's 11 states, is on fire right now, burning up. Like I said, there's so much going on. There's wildfires in the West Coast. There's a hurricane coming up in the Midwest, Mid-South, I believe, like Louisiana. They're going to get another hurricane. There's still a pandemic. After all of that, there's still a pandemic going on. There's a cop being ambushed. The rise of violence or shooting is up again during the summertime. Still unemployment is still rising. Department stores are losing money by the billions. You got movies about young girls dancing. Sean Black, and I miss it 20 more topics that happened over the weekend?
I think in regular news, the sun came up somewhere.
Somewhere.
I mean,
exactly.
Somewhere where? I don't know. And I think this is kind of compounds exactly what you're getting at. It's like, I've texted you this and we talked privately, and I said that this is literally bizarro world. Anything that is happening negatively has happened. And it's not even the worst part about that particular bad issue.
Yes. Oh, before I forget, the number to call is 347-989-8402. After all that. But before we get right into the topic, quick story I'd like to tell our two listeners out there. Saturday morning, I called Sean Black early in the morning, you know. To tell them this story that will lead to our major topic. I went to a department store out of the blue and I saw a guy carry a can of Lysol. And once I saw him with a can, I know where he's at. I ran back there. A whole bunch of people stopped running. We all went to the aisle and saw a can of Lysol. And I like to say a fight almost broke out. But people were pushing and shoving, and some people got greedy, like grabbing bags of, cans of Lysol into a bag. I literally had to push an old lady out the way because she was being too greedy. You're only entitled to one can per person. Two, if you want to try to get away with it. But she was grabbing like 10 of them. I'll push that out the way. Other people are pushing. Like, I called Sean Black. It was like Black Friday already over peanut products. Peanut products. Who thought in a million years we would be fighting or going at each other for peanut products? And this leads up to the bombshell interview that happened last week of Bob Woodward. There's an interview with Donald Trump that happened back in February. And Sean Black, were you surprised by the story? And why did I tell you this story and give it to this topic?
Well, if I have to, the amount of times that I have said on this show, following a weekend of the previous week, saying I'm not surprised at the new low that happens, and I said, well, wait 7 days. By the time we do the show next week, some new craziness may happen. And lo and behold, this is what happens. And Bob Woodward, for those that aren't familiar with the name and why his name comes up so often, is because he was part of the Woodward and Bernstein news group that literally had the information on Watergate. Well, Bob Woodward did and was doing a book interview or doing interviews for a book that was supposed to come out called Rage. And he was able to interview President Trump back in, I believe, February. And we now know, based on a lot of the audio that was passed over the news and we've heard of, we know that this president has constantly, as we've talked about ad nauseum every week, the constant downplaying of the virus, the downplaying of the severity of everything else. And in 18 separate interviews with Bob Woodward, the president just felt, let me just say whatever I can say to him, and it won't sound as bad, it won't be as bad, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that we now know exactly how bad this stuff is, and we've known this from the beginning, because one thing about this administration, especially with President Trump, is that science and doctors with evidence and proof, those kinds of things, aren't looked at well in this administration at all, if it goes against anything that they say to help them progress. That is the saddest part about this. Way back in January, when I started to know that this coronavirus was starting to spread, at least in January. We got February and March, that small window where something could have been done. And we know now that nothing was really done to help stifle and stymie the spread of this, because, as we've talked about before also, we know that the virus didn't necessarily all come from China and then come right into the country. A lot of the virus.
I don't know. Well, Trump said this is a Chinese virus, right? All the time.
Well, we all know how we can believe this president when he lies every day about literally just about everything that doesn't benefit him. If it does benefit him, he's probably lying about it. We know because of evidence that a lot of the virus that spread here in the Northeast, that came from Europe, because a lot of people that might have been in China might have been on trips from there and went to Europe and came into the Northeast in Jersey, New York, Queens, et cetera. And other places in the rest of the country in the West Coast, they came from China and certain parts of Asia, and that's how the virus spread throughout the rest of the country. Now, I don't want to pass all of that. The bottom line is, and to tie it into the story that you just told, is the reason why we're going through all of this is because of the fact that this administration, mostly Trump, purposefully kept down, tied down exactly how urgent it was, how virulent the virus was. He knew it months ago. Now, here's where I have the issue. How much of this are we going to place on Trump in that sense? And then, no one.
What do you mean,
no one
that he knew about this, and then I do a thing about
exactly.
it, and then I handle it the proper way?
Exactly. And Woodward sat on this story up until May. He has his book is coming out, I believe, next week. But he sat on it, and he said in his own words that he had to verify things that he said that he got from the president. And literally what he said, he talked to somebody that had knowledge of all of the things that the president talked about and said that this is going to be the most dangerous thing to happen to your presidency. And
that
was enough to verify to Woodward that, you know what, everything that the president is saying is legitimate truth. But he still didn't – these tapes did not come out until last week. We're
and
now
I think
in
that's the, like
September.
You said, that's the issue with a lot of people. Why now? What was the agenda behind
Well, we
this?
Know what the agenda was. The agenda was to get sales for the book. We know that.
True, but now, you would have gotten sales if you brought this out sooner. Like, listen, Trump is downplaying this. He has the proof, despite your supporters don't believe it, but we will talk about that in a minute. It's like, Sean, here's $20. No, it's $10. No, it's $20. Here's the proof. You don't see it in front of you, but it's right there overall. Well, once again, why now?
And the problem with a lot of this, and this is why there's such a divide in this country about how information gets disseminated through various places to other people. The problem isn't necessarily going to say, let's kill the messenger. Woodward was doing what he, in his mind, he felt was good, which I'm not giving him a pass for because he's, like I said, he sat on this for 6 months. They could have done something to actually allow that information that would have potentially saved lives. Trump literally stated that the reason why he downplayed it and he continued to downplay it is that he did not want to create a panic. You know how you create a
to be
panic?
Honest, I can't understand that logic. I can't understand it, but go ahead. I'll explain in a minute.
If you don't want to create a panic, this is what you do. You let people know, well, you've been listening on the news about a particular virus that has been floating around. There's a chance that it may spread here in the United States. So until further notice, this is what we're going to do. And you lay out a plan. If we start to see infections popping up at certain times in certain places, I am going to put a mandate that wearing masks will help mitigate this until we figure out what's going on. Like I said before, he knew about this because, remember, the virus started spreading in Wuhan, China, back in October. And I remember we had talked about it on our show even back then that there was this virus, and nobody really knew anything about it. We thought, well, maybe it's going to be like the avian flu. It'll disappear. We didn't know because we didn't know the information. The president is privy to much more information than he's going to let us know because that's the job of the president. At the same time, his inaction and the fact of his stance against science in general, because of that, led to what's going on right now. And I'll give you an example of that. The president just this last weekend was in Las Vegas. 5,000 people, supporters, inside of a place where it was like a convention center or whatever was the case. 5,000 people, no social distancing, and almost nobody wearing masks, which is literally against what Nevada law states because, as we've seen in Las Vegas, they got spikes of COVID everywhere. He was just in Arizona, just what is it, yesterday or today, in Arizona. They are having a rally there. The chairs that are next to them, each other, are zip-tied together. And the excuse that they used was for fire hazard reasons so that chairs aren't spaced out so nobody can get out there. All of those people are crammed together, cheering, yelling, screaming, cheering for the president. You want to know who was socially distanced? Not one of the people in that support group, for the exception of one person, and that's the president of the United States. You know why? Because he more than 6 feet away from all of those people. He's standing in the middle of those people doing his rally and talking a lot of stuff and the normal things that he does at his rallies. So you let me – yeah.
Well, it's true. I do believe. Like I said all the time to your point, politicians lie. They're not necessary to tell the truth. So I'm saying Trump crazy logic, like you said, not causing a panic, but you're supposed to have a plan. And I have to say that Obama had a plan. Ebola broke down, right? It was deadly.
Mm-hmm.
It came to the United States, but it was under control. I could be wrong, but like maybe two people got it. It was a very low number. Two people got it and died from it. Very low.
Yeah.
So you got two people compared to almost 200,000 counted. They're probably as that already, but on record, only we go at least 200,000 deaths within 6 months. And
think about it like this. Because of the inaction of this president and not getting on the ball outwardly towards other people, because you got to remember, this president spent months and months and months going around the country and telling people that are actually in government holdings, the ones that are governors and the ones that are mayors in a lot of these places, and literally going and telling them what you need to do is open up your states again, open up your cities again.
Yes.
Things should start rolling again. You should start going to school. He was saying all of this garbage while he knew how virulent this stuff was. He knew exactly how deadly this stuff was. As I was bringing to you earlier, one of the newer recordings from the Woodward interview was that the president was recalling an incident where he was either in the Oval Office talking to other people, and somebody in the room sneezed. And he said everybody in the room cleared out, including himself. So if this virus was going to just change when the weather changed, if this thing was going to just miraculously disappear, if it's just the big Democratic hoax, if all of these things were going to happen and no one was going to get sick and nothing was going to happen, then why is he breaking sprint and running out with the rest of the other people over a sneeze? You know why? Because the only person that he cares about is himself. He didn't care about the country. He didn't put the country ahead of anyone else. He put Donald Trump and Donald Trump's interests ahead of the American people. And because of that, this is kind of like a reverse pyramid. At the top is what Trump did or did not do. And everything that's happened below it, the economy, stores closing left and right, schools having a hard time opening and closing, almost 200,000 people dead, close to 6 million cases in the country, all kinds of craziness is going on right now. The economy is in shambles. Sports is up and down in the air. And everything surrounding that is a direct result of the inaction of what this president has done based on the fact that he lied to the American people about the severity. Nobody could do anything to actually counteract this and prepare the United States citizens for what was coming. That's the inaction and the literally almost criminal mindset into everything that has happened up to this date.
Well, a lot of people, of course, which I know the same, disagree with you. And like I told you earlier before the program, there's one thing I don't understand as a leader, as a president.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier in the program, half the a quarter of the country is burning. Hurricane is destroying, if I live a story, more cities, more towns. Pandemic, unemployment. There's so much, the city's divided right now. Oregon, civil rights going on over there. For God's sake, Michigan still doesn't have running water. So while all this is happening, as we joke about it over the phone a few days ago, Trump will be golfing.
Mm-hmm.
What type of president go golfing almost every weekend?
especially when the emergencies happen left and right. And while your country is in shambles right now, you will have a rally and telling how bad it will be if Biden, if this is Biden's America. Now, does that make any sense as an outsider, not trying to pick sides or anything like that? Does any of this make sense?
No, of course it doesn't. And we know the reason why. Because the majority of Americans, they deal with common sense and facts. If you were to tell me that if you go ahead and near an open flame and you tell me not to stick my foot in it because it may burn, and I stick my foot in it anyway and it burns, guess what? The joke's on me, because science has proven that fire burns. Your experience is letting me know that, oh, guess what? Science has told me that fire is hot. Avoid fire when you can. This is what's going on right now. Even though a lot of this disease stuff is in flux, the science is telling you there are things that we still don't know about COVID-19. But what we do know about COVID-19 is here and proven. Wear a mask to mitigate infection rates. Try to stay away from crowds. If you can, try to keep your distance. If you don't have to go anywhere, stay the hell home. You know, these are the kinds of things that are told.
People can't do that. People have to move on. People have to move on. You know,
that is understandable. And in those,
it's not guaranteed.
Yes, and in those situations, because like I said, nothing is 100%. We know that. We know of, we've heard of cases of people catching COVID in their eyes, as opposed to just breathing it in, based on the fact that, and you're starting to see more people wearing face shields as opposed to just masks. And whatever will work to mitigate infection spreads, you do that to make sure that it will actually work. But if nobody buys in, and there are so many examples of people coming up with some of the silliest, asinine reasons not to wear a mask, and I'm not even talking about the quote-unquote Karens of the world. We're past that, even though they still exist. They're not the problem. There are issues of many, many guys, many, many gals that are out there, and we've seen them on television, on the news, at a Trump rally. I believe one of the people interviewed him, well, why aren't you wearing a mask, or why aren't you putting on a mask to make sure you cover this? And you know what this person said? And this is the one that I remember the most. He literally looked at the camera and said, COVID is a hoax. He said that it's keeping away from the – it is making sure that it's something that was created to control the United States of America and keep us from going out and doing what we need to do. It's a hoax.
But at the same time, Sean Black, you and I just saw on television, before I go to K-Dog, you and I just saw on television a father and son who have suffered from COVID for 6 months.
Yes.
And they have probably long-term effects of this. A father, in another state, a young man lost his parents who died minutes apart from each other, holding hands at the hospital from COVID. Once again, we all know someone who has someone who passed away from COVID. How in the world is, you know what, you could say Sean Black probably died from a heart attack, it could be COVID related, who knows? I could admit to that part. But there's no way, no how, out of nowhere, within 6 months, we are close to 200 deaths. It has to be random like that. While at the same time, there's 35 people who died in a fire in 11 states. And I just want to make one more point. Imagine you're in the West Coast. You recover from a pandemic. You know, you recover from COVID, or you know someone to COVID. You lost your job, something. And now you deal with a fire and lost your home. Is there not going suicide thoughts to your mind that you lost your job, your home, coronavirus? God knows what is going on in your life. I don't know what it is, but that is a major sign of mental illness. You'll be traumatized for life. Yeah. Or what's going on?
I'm
going
to bring up two things that Trump said, and then you can swing it to K-Dog. During that whole interview that Woodward and Trump had, two of the things that struck me. One of the things that Trump actually said to him was that nothing more could have been done with this whole coronavirus. But then he made a remark that the markets are coming back really strong. The markets are really strong. And the day that he said that was the day that we had the highest death rate in one day, with 1,300 people died in that one day. And he said that the markets are coming back strong. So we know the priority of this president going forward with any of the other stuff that goes on.
And I saw my 401k for the first time since the pandemic. I almost killed myself, okay? But on to you, K-Dog. How much money I lost. Well, I'm sorry, K-Dog. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, boy. Heaven help us all. What the hell is going on?
I don't think heaven's going to help us right now.
No, I don't know what it is. Here's what's going on. We have someone who has shown nothing but poor leadership. I mean, you're finding out about this since October. You're finding out about this virus. And the people that you had that could have done something about it, I mean, I'm not going to say that he caused it, but the people that he could have had, he fired them. He fired those people. And, you know, he dismissed it like, oh, it's nothing. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I could be right or I could be wrong. Do you see more ignorance during this pandemic or what? People being more ignorant to it, like,
well,
it's nothing.
You know, to your point, K-Dog, and to the rally, the way I noticed, the way Trump talks, and I'm not a big speaker, I'm not saying I'm the smartest man, the way Trump talks, he's like talking to dumb people, he's like talking to little kids. Like him.
Exactly.
Like when Obama speaks with intelligence, like, oh man, this is like more
right.
Vision.
He speaks like a leader.
Is he lying? Yeah, he sounds like a leader. Trump, like, oh, Biden's no good. He's no good. Open up the stage. Yeah.
He's quick to insult. You know what it is? Like, I was having a talk with my mom, and she was saying like this when she came here, she said like this, the president that she remembers, she says that she's heard Johnson speak, she's heard President Nixon, Ford, and, you know, and so forth. Now, with this president, Donald Trump has not spoken as a leader to the people, because all you do is sit there and insult people. All you do is sit there and, you know, you're talking just to hear yourself talk, not talking to the American people, but talking just to hear yourself talk.
Okay.
And what's scary is that when you hear his followers, like, yeah, he's doing a one hell. I'm like, one hell of a job. Wow, look at what's going on in this country now. I mean, this is a disarray. Would you ever think that things would happen? That something like this would happen, where you see a pandemic? I mean, a serious pandemic out there. I mean, look at it this way. Kids are not able to going to school your children going to school is questionable. Are they going to stay home or, you know, are they going to go in? And, you know, he's not taking this seriously. First he said that, oh, it was what was he saying? It was a head cold. Now he's calling it the Kung Fu virus, the China virus. I mean, okay, what the hell is going on here?
Well, to your point, K-Dog, the question, Mike Bloomberg, because Florida is going to be a major battle state, and right now it's neck and neck for Biden and Trump. And, like, this, all the stuff that Trump has done, it's so amazing that people will go for Trump, but Florida is like the biggest world. It's a bizarre world. Former Mayor Bloomberg will donate $100 million in campaign funds towards Biden to help him. Do you think Bloomberg will help Biden and to win the state of Florida?
I don't think
Biden's going to have to work very hard to win the state of Florida. I mean, okay, the money towards the campaign can help. He does need the money to campaign. He does need the funds. And, yeah, you have a guy like Mike Bloomberg, who's a billionaire, who's willing to donate a lot of money. thing is he's going to have to work very hard to convince the voters. And this is what it is like. I look at the election. Here's the thing. When it comes to Joe Biden and Harris, you know, even though you know, we haven't seen what they're doing yet because they're not in the White House yet. But however, they're going to have to work very hard to convince the people because, you know what, Donald Trump fires up his base. He knows
yes,
the kind of people to fire up. He knows the kind of people to fire up. Therefore, Biden's going to have to use a different type of strategy to fire up a base to show why he should be elected and why Trump should not be reelected. He has to fire up that base very hard. He has to work very hard at it, both him and Harris.
I shall not.
In the game of politics.
It's the $100 million or however much money Bloomberg pumps in, I don't think is going to do that much of a difference. Because we know that Florida, as a Republican base, very, very strong, especially the Hispanic community, which usually skews towards conservative Republican voting. That's usually what happens in Florida and certain parts of the South when it comes to Hispanic voters.
Right.
Looking at Florida as a whole, we know now that there is it's not as 100% Republican as it used to be. We saw that change with Andrew Gillum and some of the stuff that happened down south as far as changing the vote in the last election last year and those midterm elections that had popped up. So we know that that's something that's on the table. But looking right now at the way that we're getting towards November and seeing where the chips are going to start to fall, I think what the Democrats, if they're trying to gain momentum in that sense, they're going to have to literally put everything on the table as far as this is the resume of what this administration has done to try to earn your vote.
Exactly what
and this is what has happened. We've had hurricanes that are getting worse and worse and worse. We are right now looking at five named storms, which has not happened five at the same time named for the first time in 49 years. That hasn't happened. We're already at September, and we're going to start going into the Greek alphabet because they don't go WXYZ, they don't go XYZ when they name hurricanes. So that goes to show you what that is. A lot of these hurricanes have become major hurricanes. We also have fires burning all over the West Coast.
We don't
even know what the winter is going to hold. Hot Rod and I talked about this last week, where in the middle of the country in Denver, Colorado, they had record heat. I think it was like 95, 96 degrees. The next day, they got 2 feet of snow. So these are the kinds of things that you have to look at as far as climate change, what's going on with the racial component in this country, the haves and the have-nots as far as the economy, health care, and, of course, what everybody is worried about, which is what's going on with COVID, what's going on with jobs, all of those things.
Sean, I just received a message from PATA, P-A-T-A, and he or she said the CDC just came out and stated that 96% of the COVID deaths were from the result of other conditions that the patient had. Only 4% died from the virus itself. That's about 9.5 thousand people. Popeye's chicken kills more than that. Do you believe it? Do you believe that theme is true?
I don't know how much that is because here's the problem. The CDC, who was very critical of what President Trump said, has in a lot of instances kind of changed the tune a little bit in certain instances. I would not be surprised if the majority of people that have come down with COVID had with what they call comorbidities, which is diabetes, heart disease, et cetera, underlying conditions that would exacerbate a disease. So I could believe a good chunk of that being the case. Now, if it's that high,
you don't think it's 96%.
No, because if it was that high, there would be a lot more people dead right now. But at the same time, we also know that there are a lot of people that are surviving COVID. And you notice, you don't hear about that anywhere near as much.
No, they
how many people have survived? There are literally millions of people that have actually survived through COVID right now. And we don't hear about those news as often.
But real quick, you brought up Andrew Goodman, right? The former mayor, but he was running for governor in Florida, I believe, a few years ago. It's funny they mentioned that earlier today on a talk show. He came out, there was an incident when he went out partying with his friends, quote unquote, and they were taking drugs, meth, and there was a picture of him posted on social media, naked and basically sleeping in his own vomit. And that he came out on the show that he's bisexual. He's married to a woman with three kids. Now, guys, this is a man-to-man talk here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think a man could be bisexual, or do you think he would have stuck in a closet for a long time, he finally decided to come out that he's gay? Sean?
You want me to start off, or? Okay. I believe that we've gotten into the area of sexuality where a lot of people, especially when it comes to black men, where a lot of men don't know who they are or what they consider as quote-unquote normal because they've been demonized within their own race. Black men, especially West Indian men, and I've seen this, I have lots of West Indians in my family. And when they hear gay, they hear lesbian, it's like you're either ready to be disowned, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't know how long he's known he's had these feelings. Can you be gay or bisexual? Of course you can. There's pansexual. There are so many different... There are so many quote-unquote labels within sexuality that have evolved in probably even the last 5 years that people don't know.
Okay. Hi, 647, you're on the air on the Absolute Tube. Hello?
Hey, how you doing? Interesting discussion. I didn't push one to come out, just listening, but the CDC didn't say 96%. They said 94% of the COVID-19 deaths had contributing medical conditions. So this is from the CDC itself.
Okay.
So they're saying of all the people who died, 94%. Had other conditions that probably contributed to his death, to their death. And so there's only 6% that supposedly died from COVID. Even though when it first came out, they said that there's no way you can die from it. You can only die from the complications of it, meaning it makes you sick and then
complications. Yes.
That's a pretty big admission.
There have people that we heard of in the news, quote-unquote, who've been healthy, have no condition, that died from the quote-unquote COVID itself.
Yeah, so that's the CDC on their website came out with it and said that 94% of those deaths were probably not from COVID-19, which does leave only around 9.5%, 10% that died from COVID, at least that's what they're saying. Who knows, right? So,
that's my thing. That's why I asked you earlier. Do you actually believe these reports? Because you can't believe everything they read nowadays, especially from the administration.
Hold on. So, we don't know if this is absolutely true, but one of the things we can't do is we can't cherry pick what the CDC says. So the CDC says, you should wear a mask, and everybody wears a mask. And then they come out with something else, and people say, I don't believe that. So, when that starts happening, then everybody's just using the data for their own political viewpoint at that point, right?
And
for
that's the problem.
For whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other part of that is that the reason why, although the numbers may be askewed a bit, is the mindset of we don't even have the proper testing nation. We still don't have a nationwide testing protocol. So even though the CDC has their numbers from who has reported, we have no idea how many people that have COVID that haven't been tested have died from the virus that didn't have any comorbidities.
Yeah,
and that's the frustrating part about the numbers, is because that if this was gotten to earlier and it was taken much more seriously earlier, there would be a better system in place so that we can get more accuracy among numbers, and then there probably wouldn't be. Yeah.
This is America. This is America. We can never be organized. Okay? This is America.
Well, I understand that, but it would be a lot more organized than it is now, because we wouldn't have 200,000 people dead right about now if there was a lot more organization.
Well, hold on. Now, you can't say that now, because they just came out with this information, which means that there are not 200,000 people dead from COVID. You see what I mean? So what we have to say is that this stuff is still up in the air. All the data is all over the place, and we don't know what it is. Now, what I am most surprised by, however, is I'm a little surprised at people's, some people's reaction, especially our men's reaction. When this whole thing first came out, it kind of showed the panic on behalf of, a lot of, from what I've seen, just my experience, the panic on behalf of men from our community. And that was more surprising to me. Because men are not never. There's no time in history where men were looking to be as safe as the women and children, ever. If there was some exploring to do, they had to do it. If there was hunting to do, they had to do it. If they wanted to go to the, when men wanted to explore the world and go into dangerous places and cold places and North Pole, they did it. Right? Mm-hmm. They were never.
Yeah. Times changed.
They weren't built to be as safe as the women and children. And I got the. I saw some things even in grocery stores with men. I'm like, what are you doing? Running in the store with your wife to get bathrooms. It's like, relax. You know what I mean? Like, be under control. And I think that's one of the things that I saw that kind of surprised me, right?
Okay. I got 15 minutes left. I have to go to the next topic right away. Talk about being under control. There was a cop ambush back in California. With everything that's going on between cops and anti-cops and pro-cops, there was a guy with a mask, go figure, of course, walked into a police car, parked a police car, shot fired. Luckily, the cops are alive. And right now, there's a manhunt for this cop. I mean, excuse me, for the cop shooter, of $100,000. Plus, while the cop was in the hospital going through recovery, there was a protest going on. And then trying to enter to the hospital where the cops are at, trying to, make some noise. We heard them chanting, "F the cops, let them die." So you talk about animal control. What do you think about that? What's going on in California? you think there should be a vigilante? But remember, Trump called them animals. Called that the cop killer animals. He was quick to talk about that. By the way, we did not talk much about Jacob Blake. And other incidents about that. Yeah. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, there was another cop killing recently. And I forget the guy's name. There was a cop who was killed. I can get his name in a second, but you probably didn't hear about it. You know why? Because the guy who killed the cop was white.
And I think I know the one you're talking about. I think I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? So
it happened in Northern California.
Yeah, Northern California, where the shooting happened.
Yeah. And I believe this was a – there's a right-wing group called the Proud Boys, and they have issues with a lot of the left-wing, liberal mindset. And members of that group actually killed a cop. And we didn't hear a whole lot of anything from anywhere in the government. We didn't hear anything from Trump. We didn't hear anything from any of the other people there. And we all agree, as far as cops being killed, it's ridiculous. It does not need to happen. That's definitely not what any of this
are happened. Are you surprised by this?
And the reason why is because of all the rhetoric that's been going on between linking any kind of violence towards cops to the Black Lives Matter movement. And the issue with that is we don't know that the person
that has to do with Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you why. This is the problem. When we've seen the footage of the two deputies that were shot, there is an assumption that since this person is presumed black, that it has something to do with the Black Lives Matter movement. We don't know what that person's motives is, other than shooting two cops who were in a car, which is disgusting in and of itself. And the, like you said, Hot Rod, the first thing that came out of the mouth of the president is animals. There are a lot of code words that come in when this president describes something that has to do with the apparent violence or something along those lines. When you hear African-American or Latino do something violent in another direction, we've heard this before. The same rhetoric, we've seen it, we heard it. And that's part of the problem.
Okay,
Hold on. Yeah. So we don't know all of the facts of the case yet with this whole thing, but what I will say is that you cannot conflate Black Lives Matter. That's from the street. Black Lives Matter is not our organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Black Lives Matter. Saying that white people
exactly.
are intending to say.
No, because you know what? Can I add something to that? And I'm glad you're saying that because you know what? It's been taken over. Black Lives Matter has been taken over.
No, it hasn't been taken over. It never was. Our organization. It was started by. It's a white organization. It was funded and put together the three black ladies who are put up there were chosen to be. They had to choose them to be, and they even came out and admitted it. They said, look, we're in 2015. I forget the lady's name, Collins, or I can't remember her last name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And she said, we are well-trained Marxists, and we were trained by this guy who used to be with the Weather Underground, a white guy, right? All their funding comes from white people in the beginning. That's why they had all the signs, and they could fly anywhere. There was turmoil and stay in nice hotels and that kind of thing. So we have to look at it. It wasn't taken over. It was always a white organization, but they just had these women as the, you know, the spokesperson. And the other thing they said when they first came out was one of their objectives was to queer out the black liberation movements.
It seemed to be working, though.
Does it?
We have more white people making noise for Black Lives Matter than black people.
Exactly.
Well, Hot Rod.
Yes.
I'm going to throw out another caveat to this argument that's going to make people split their heads open. Now, you remember Candace Owens. I don't even need to go into who she is. She actually did a she put up a tweet a little earlier actually blaming what happened with the deputy shooting and their actions on people like LeBron James and black celebrities. And this is what she said.
Yes.
Why does this happen? Because pea-brain celebrities that are idolized like LeBron James tell young black men that they are literally being hunted. This is the natural result of such hyperbolic, dishonest rhetoric. The racist, anti-police, Black Lives Matter lie is to blame. That's what she put up on.
She
LeBron
James, I didn't know.
She's going her time is starting to be short. Her paymasters, her paymasters are starting to kind of move away from her, right? Because her paymasters are starting to move away from her. So what's happening is even during the Republican convention, they wouldn't even let her speak, right?
Nope,
so
they
she's
didn't.
Starting to lose.
Nope, you're right about that.
So what she's doing is now she's got to get more outrage, right? The best thing to do with her is just not really to talk about her at all. She's irrelevant.
She's only trying to make noise to make herself be heard. That's all. Because
exactly.
She knows that.
No,
because this is what she is. Candace Owens, she's relatively nobody because what is she? What sort of importance is she? She's not important. She's just trying to hear herself talk.
And she has
come out on social media. Exactly.
You know, talk about someone who would like to make noise to make himself heard, and but he really have nothing much to say. Let me give up the last few minutes to Brother B. Brother B?
Oh Lord.
Hey, what's up,
brother? Oh Lord.
Oh,
greetings and salutations, everyone.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? So what's the deal?
We're talking about the ambush that happened in California, the cop ambush. How, you know,
what does anybody expect? What did people expect to happen when all of this has been going on and it's not stopping?
I'm sorry, I'm surprised. Yeah, the cops are alive. That part I'm surprised about.
I thought the way they got shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is, listen, you know, somebody tried to come at me when I had, you know, said something about a post that they put up about that on Facebook. And my thing is this: unless you've walked in our shoes, you'll never understand. And I'm not condoning. I'm not condoning what happened. But after a while, it gets frustrating when it seems like it's happening on a weekly basis. So after a while, you go from coincidence, or maybe it was just an incident, an isolated incident, to like, yo, this really seems like they coming to hunt us. And not everybody's going to handle it logically. Now we already know LAPD has a history of corruption. So you know what I'm saying. I mean, what did you really think was going to happen, man? All it was going to take is for somebody to start firing back. Because right now, the country's so divided, everybody's hating one another, especially black folk. Everybody just want to hate black folk right now. The thing is, what other defense do some have? The first thing they do is they take it to the streets or they take it to some, because they're scared. And at the same time, you got people like, yo, we're not going to take it anymore. And people want to look at the uniform. It's beyond the uniform, man. It's the individual that puts on that uniform that decides to go out there and do the things that they do and hide behind the uniform. So let's stop saying, oh, these people are brave. Because, you know, the first thing they did was talk about, oh, how one of the cops has a six-year-old child and all this and that. But Trayvon Martin was a thug. Martin was this. Sandra Bland was that. So it's like I'm not trying to, you know, spit on anybody's, you know, parade. But if you're going to villainize me, I mean, yo, it is what it is, man. You get, it's like Pac said one time, you get what you give. And when you put out the negative and you support the negative, don't think it's not going to come back to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I would encourage everybody to take a close look at those pictures. That's all I'll say on that. Take a close look.
I agree, because the whole thing is, I see some articles. Some people show me some posts where they got people where they're selling masks that look like white people, that look like black people, and stuff like that. Listen, we don't know the situation. We don't really know.
I'm not talking about that. But just take a good look at it. But you know, listen.
Yeah, I mean, listen. It is, like I said, man, we're living in a time where everybody's seeing things for what it is, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, what can we do? All we can do is protect our village, like I said before, and I'll keep saying. take care of your loved ones, take care of your kids. Make sure you strengthen those around you as well as yourself, because it's going to be what it is, man, whether people like it or not, whether you want to fight against it or not. It's going to be what it is. And when somebody's ready to kick in your door or snatch you out your car or whatever it's going to be, you just got to be ready to be able to deal with whatever confrontation that comes your way. That's it.
I can say that that sounds like pretty good advice.
No,
you hear me complain about
it
that.
It is. I agree 100% because it's like a lot of people don't even understand what it is that we go through, especially some people are like, oh, when you see the police officers, you're supposed to feel safe. Yeah, you're supposed to feel safe, but try being in my shoes. If a cop comes up to me, my heart's going to start racing. Like, oh, damn, what the hell? What did I do now? You understand? People don't understand that.
And you know what's
all
that thing,
going
though?
To be a cultural difference. It's going to be...
I'm sorry, real quick. You know what's sad about that? Some of these cops want fear. They want you to fear them.
Yeah.
They like that fear. And when you don't give
you know
it to them, then they become aggressive.
Do you you remember the video of the boy, I think it was a teenage boy, and his mother, and a cop pulled him over? He had registration and everything else that he needed, and the cop was getting aggressive with the boy. And the mother had to defend him from the these are the kinds of things that people don't realize happens on a much more regular basis when it comes to the African-American community, the Latino community, where there's so many different things and so many different ways that something can go sideways just from a glance, a cross word, somebody having the wrong somebody ate the wrong breakfast. Something can happen. And these are the kinds of things that have to be looked at on a regular basis and quelled. But we can't do that if there is no acknowledgement that there is something going wrong here. And that's the problem.
Do we?
And you know what?
Need,
I have to
do
ask
black people need any
quick.
More acknowledgement? I mean, I don't understand why we need we really like we've been going out since we've been brought to these shores, and we still act surprised when these things happen. I don't get it.
I don't think it's more black people needing the acknowledgement, because I, the sad part about this commentary on this is that for a lot of the change to happen, in a lot of instances, white America has to change as well. Because that seems to be when a lot of that changes in within the system and within a lot of the things that happen overall. The reason why the protests were as meaningful as they were and had as much anger and vitriol and all of the things that happened is because there were a lot of white people that felt the same way that a lot of black people were. It was like, this has to change. And that's why you had, as a lot of people say, allies in the struggle.
I think it was, I mean, there were people out there, but I think it was our young, our black youth that kicked this off. And they're the ones that, you know, we can give the credit to for them being any kind of change, if there was any. The only change I can think of is some of the mayors are now saying that, and some of these cities saying that these cops now have to live within the city limits if they want to work for the city, if they want to be cops in that city. And that, I mean, that's positive change. I don't know, because the incidents are still happening, so the problem hasn't been solved.
Well, it doesn't even matter where they live, because you can't change the nature of a person depending on where they live at. If their nature to be savage.
I'm saying, like, in Rochester, New York, as an example, the mayor said that all the cops live out. So what she's doing is she's saying you can no longer be cops. Most of the city in Rochester, inside the city, is black. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's some.
Oh, no, I get it. I get it. But at the same time, it's like, yo, if you're a savage and that is your nature, if you're hateful by nature, nothing is going to change that. And having a badge is only going to, you know,
That badge and that gun, you know what they're going to look at it as? They're going to feel like they have power. That's how they feel. They feel that power, like, yeah, I got a badge and a gun. I could do whatever the hell I want to do.
But when you make that stipulation, they're not going to move into the city if the city is mostly black, so you're taking a badge away from them. They got to quit. They got to retire.
Exactly.
So that's a good thing.
No, and I get that. I mean, that's some type of change, but in the same token, I mean, then who's going to step up? See, then that's when we can't talk junk about anybody else anymore, because that's when we have to step up and be the change that we're asking for. And all it takes is certain things on your record for them to disqualify you from even becoming a police officer. That's why a lot of cats out here in the streets don't know that. It can take a little misdemeanor, or it can take this. It's the little things that they arrest you for. And then on the application, have you ever been arrested for something? And that's where it starts. And then it becomes discretionary if they want to hire you or not. So that's what I'm saying. It's like we set ourselves up for some of that. So can we really put ourselves in these key positions to save ourselves?
I think it's enough of us, yeah. I think so.
Well, brother, I'm going to ride the Hope train with you. I'm gonna ride that train. Listen, I hope so, brother. I really do, because we can't keep beefing and yelling about what's not happening if we're not doing anything to step up our game. Like, listen, how you gonna want to be a boss? Why you gonna watch a movie, like a TV show like Power, and want to be a boss on some underground stuff, but you don't want to get a badge and do it legally?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that way of thinking.
That's a different mindset.
Yeah. And that's a different mindset.
But that's
the mindset that's out there. Heavy.
The mindset also has to be what is the alternative? And I think
are people going to benefit from your service? That's what it is, you know.
And when we start looking at the different alternative that can actually be placed in these different areas, then we start to see we're getting like you said, a grassroots from the earth, so to speak, where you're getting people from ground level that know what's going on in the streets, that want change. Then they talk to other people that are a little older than them, that may have connections that are within the neighborhood. And then they can go talk to an alderman or somebody that is in law that is in the neighborhood and make it local and then bring it further ahead. Some of these things start. But the problem is that there's a cynicism in each one of these areas that is looked at by a lot of people that don't think either the votes don't count, why am I wasting my time, why should I care when no one else is going to do anything? That's the mindset that goes into a lot of this, and it's that cynicism that impedes progress from actually happening.
Well,
I think another thing, guys. I'm sorry, we have to go now. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate this. We're way over time. We got to continue this again. Well, Brother B, see you tomorrow night on the menu right here, right? Right here on Blog
Talk
Radio, right?
Blog Talk Radio. Yes, sir. Blog Talk Radio. Let it be known.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Stay safe. Yes, stay safe out there, people.